sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Welcome and bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, December 15, 2024. That's right. We're recording on the Sabbath. The Sabbath. We're reckless on this podcast. Today's episode is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, I, like usual, before I continue, it's important for me that I acknowledge the most important people in the world at this minute, and that's you and you, that's you listeners. Give up. And while I'm shouting out you listeners, I want to shout out another very important group of listeners, and that's all you first-time listeners. Yo, give it up for yourselves. What's that? What if you're a new listener who clicked on this podcast by mistake? You are still accepted in the family of Shut Up Podcast. Especially because you thought I was the other Shut Up Podcast, and you're like, what the fuck? I don't recognize that voice. Anyways, in case you decide to stick around, give it up for yourself. Yay! Let's see if we can make some history here. All right, okay. All right, reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And I'm supposed to say, if you didn't know, now you know. Okay, in today's episode titled... Okay, I'm still deciding, but right now, let's say the working title is 229 Flu Shot. Flu Shot, just keep it like that. And today's episode, I know what I'm going to talk about. I just realized that I just didn't articulate. I'm going to use Flu Shot as an analogy to talk about healing. What does healing look like? You know what? Sounds corny, but trust me, it'll sound better. It'll make more sense when you hear it. You know, okay. Just to cut the suspense, I'm going to address this video that's going around TikTok, and someone was asking the question: are you healed? Yeah, are you healing or are you isolating yourself? You know, I'm paraphrasing something like that. Or you just avoided the people who trigger you, something like that. Anyways, I'll elaborate in the last thought. But before I do that, let's get into some, like we usually do, let's get into some quotes and some randomness. All right? Okay. First quote, it goes like, it's, a great man is hard on himself. A small man is hard on others. Second one, the things you say about others say a lot about you. Yeah, that right there is why I don't feel comfortable around people who talk bad about other people behind their back. It's my dad had that. My dad has that. He's never comfortable when you're talking bad about. It's not that he's trying to be righteous. It's not that we're trying to be righteous. It's just there's a certain discomfort. Also, the knowledge that one, then what the fuck are you saying about me? And two, the things you say about others says a lot about you. And the last quote goes, you glow differently when your confidence is fueled by a belief in yourself instead of validation from others. Now, the two quotes that I read, I don't have an author for them, but I am going to say from the last one, it comes from Introverts Are Awesome. All right, now let's jump into randomness, but before we do that, let's take a quick break. Speaking of robots, I'm trying to watch this movie on Netflix called it got a shitty rating. Subservience. And I'm realizing that it's fucked up. I'm gonna admit something that I think I got a crush on Megan Fox. I don't like the lady. But the physical, got a crush on that on that feature. Yes, on a white woman. And I just realized I was high when I was watching it. And honestly, I was, notice I said try to watch it. I just wanted to see that infamous scene where she opens up her blouse and she reveals her her bra and panty on. I just wanted to get to that scene. And now that I'm at that scene, I'm like, I'm done watching it. Yeah, it's called Subservience, and it got 5.3 on IMDb. Not a good look. 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's not a great movie. It's not. I think I'm just fascinated by the idea of AI, a hot AI robot that's trying to kill off my wife. I'm not married. Okay. All right. That wasn't on the agenda. I'm freestyling with that one. All right. Okay. What is on the? Oh, okay. When I finished recording the last episode, I found myself thinking about. So during the episode, I was reading responses to a tweet to a thread comment about why is there a debate about ending racism, and my response was. What was my response again? Oh, yeah, something along the lines of, because white people don't believe they can survive without it. Anyways, and then I read off the predictive replies that I got. Who thought you the real racist? Anyways, in one of the responses, I clicked on the profile of the author, and fits the description, and, you know, racist, small-minded type of person. And one of the posts he had there, I laughed and described it. And I realized that for some people, especially for the kind of audience that I would want, I could imagine them taking offense to that. And I was overthinking, like, you know, I found myself, ooh, should I edit that part out? And I'm like, nah, keep it in there. I'm not trying to be perfect. And two, I want to be clear that I tend to laugh at shit like a coping mechanism. Like, okay, first let me start off by saying, you know, I am going to apologize if anyone was bothered by that laughter. Like, I was dismissing it like it was, I'm not even going to repeat what I saw, but the joke, because it was sexist. It was an attempt at being sexist, and it just, like I said, it made me laugh. And I say sorry, but I know that I'm apologizing for something that I would do again. So I guess I'm saying I would understand if you stopped listening to this podcast as a result. But it did have me thinking about how in my journey as a highly sensitive person, the things that I did to cope, to live in this world, to cope and survive in this world. And some of them were automatically laughing at shit that is disgusting. Edgy jokes and things like that. Yeah, I have a side of me that's like, I don't apologize. I'm not saying it needs to be fixed. But it's just recognizing that even though we may share the same trait of being highly sensitive, it doesn't mean we are similar people. There are things that you're able to accept, you might be able to accept, that I can't accept. The perfect example I can think of is, or I can deal with. I have a friend, she's also a highly sensitive person. You wouldn't know it because she's an extrovert, but that's a longer conversation. Sorry, I'm being a smartass with that one. And we get along in a sense that it's like we acknowledge each other's, we don't tolerate each other. We appreciate each other. And we'll watch, this friend, we'll watch a violent movie. And when she sees a violent scene, she has to turn away. And I'm like straight looking at it. And I'm not saying Mr. because I'm no snowflake. No, it's more, it has me thinking, I'm thinking of all the times that I've watched violent movies. It's like I won't say I numbed myself to them, but I can't explain it. It's not that I numb myself. They do disturb me, but not to the point of not wanting to watch it. But we respect each other. It's not like, okay, well, fuck, because you watch these bullshit movies, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. No, it's like, I understand that, like, if I'm watching a movie that I know a violent scene is coming up, I'll give her a heads up. And but point is, we have a mutual respect for each other's trait. And there is no like, well, you need to man up, you need to sack up, or you need to, you know, I hate when people are like, well, I'm not easily offended, shit like that. But anyways, I think it's possible to exist, to share a space where this bothers me, this is a conversation I should have been having with someone else. But all this, I'm just acknowledging that when I read that response from there, I was not trying to be insensitive, even though I was insensitive. I wasn't trying to, I numbed that sensitivity about me. And again, the joke was was a sexist joke about Kamala and Hillary Clinton. You could guess it for yourself. And the dude was just celebrating the fact that Trump won the election, and that a second one, the dude was celebrating the fact in a disgusting fashion that Trump beat two women in the election. Anyways, just acknowledging. All right. Okay, next one is a series of PSAs. It's video clips. I'm going to play them as public service announcement. The first one is, I have it labeled that they're not sorry.
I'm not sorry if it offends you. I am not sorry if my response to your disrespect offends you. I'm not in the business of making people comfortable to disrespect me. I'm not in the business of making people comfortable to trigger me. I'm not going to allow myself to remain in your presence or in your company if you disrespect me and if you continuously cross my boundaries. I make no apologies for removing myself and even distancing myself in conversation. I think more highly of myself than that. I think more highly of my purpose and my future than that. And I've realized that if I stay in places that I am disrespected or triggered, then I'm going to give more focus to the triggering or the disrespect than I am to my forward trajectory of where I'm going and what I'm actually planted here to do. So if I remove myself, it's because I'm doing myself and the world a favor by removing myself from things that would keep me distracted and stuck in cycles that are going nowhere. I don't think I'm better than anyone, but I do believe in myself enough to believe that I do not deserve to remain in spaces that I've outgrown, that you've shown me who you are, and I'm not going to make you feel comfortable to do it again. Remember who you are.
All right. I am not sorry. The content creator's name on Instagram is king.curtis79. Powerful. The whole time he was speaking, I was thinking about my trip. I'm going on a cruise for my birthday, and I've chosen to go alone. And I'm at two person. Actually, I was talking about my dad, and he was like confused at the fact that by yourself. I mean, he's gone on vacation by himself, but I guess maybe it's more the idea of the whole birthday thing. And I remember explaining to him that, yeah, but sometimes pop's solitude is way better than bad company. And he had difficulty processing that. I think he agreed with it, but yeah. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like a loner. I honestly just, I'm thinking of that, a line by Nas is one of his latest one of his recent albums. He said something like, I want to go somewhere where I'm a nobody, where no one knows, something like that. Anyways, yeah. But yeah, removing yourself. I think I've been around, tolerated enough bad company to now have his mindset and been like, fuck that. I'm not sorry. What's that? We don't hang out anymore? That offends you? It is what it is. All right, okay, next one. All right, okay, I like this. This one is for Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou on why people's fear of woke. I ain't wrote that wrong, but okay, here we go. It'll make more sense when you hear it.
People are afraid to be pried loose from their ignorance because they know their ignorance so well. They know it better than they know their body odors. And if you say, come on, give up your ignorance, they get into that terrible position, terrifying position, which Shakespeare talks about at the end of the soliloquy, Hamlet's soliloquy. They'd rather bear the ills they have than fly to others that they know not of. Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all. So they are cowardly.
People are afraid to be pried loose from their ignorance. Yeah, no, I was thinking of Andrew Schultz, what's the word he called? Kendrick, he said, this guy too woke to take a joke? And, you know, honestly, this whole concept of seeing woke as a bad thing, that's a white people thing, man. And of course, it works to their advantage for black people. Look, all my life, I say this as a black person who's been around white people. And they liked me better when I was not woke. They like me better. Yeah, trust me. It's like, yeah, look, if this black shit keeps making you mad, you should start reading it. Make it convenient for us. And I'm just saying, boys and girls, if you forget everything that I've told you, the one thing you should pay attention to is do not trust anyone who tries to talk you out of being woke or who sees wokeness, you know, as a bad thing. You know, we didn't use the word woke. We used the word conscious, aware, read up. Don't get bamboozled. Cause that's all. Yo, when we got on that, and we got on that slave ship, we got played. Again, woke only works to the advantage of the person who wants you to keep your eyes closed. And what did Nas say? I never sleep. Cause sleep is the cousin of death. All right. Sorry. I hate Andrew Schultz. All right, okay, next one. It goes, black people. Oh, you know what? Okay, let me just play it. Sounds better.
Black people, we were told to follow the rules by people that are cheating and then condemned for not being able to win the game. Artificial intelligence is not out to get you, and the people behind it already have all the information on you that they need. At the height of black literacy, while I don't know what it was, I would argue that now we all have enough functional technological literacy to use these tools in order to, as a collective, raise the bar, raise our level of consciousness, raise our level of awareness to be able to make some actual changes. Black people are incredibly skeptical, and Lord knows we have more than enough reason to be. But I'm witnessing too many of my peers struggle for the sake of getting shit out the mud, because that's how our parents did it, that's how our grandparents did it. When we don't live in the world that our grandparents lived in. And not only will we not be rewarded for taking a more difficult path, but there will actively be repercussions and consequences from us trying to do the right thing. But on a more positive note, I think it also bears worth mentioning that in their arrogance, they have given us access to a tool that can be used against them. We don't know when we're going to have restricted access to these things. So for the time being, put some information in there, make some plans, find some discipline, and stick to it.
All right. Tools. Yeah, I think it's talking about AI. I've been using AI regularly. Now, actually, we're just talking about Subservience, the movie. But previous episode, I was like, I swore on AI. I swore by AI. But recently, first to me acknowledge the content creator's name is, oh, wow. Oh, I didn't even pay attention to his name. Regular Revolutionary. Damn. Well, that's his stage name. I guess his government name is Brandon. But anyways, yeah. So I agree with what he was saying. It's funny, that thought is, I remember when the internet, I'm that old, when the internet was this new thing, and and the black people around me weren't into the internet, weren't big, and I felt like, okay, I will lead you the way. I will, you know, I will be your Moses. Only to find out that, especially when I got on the internet, finding out that, holy shit, yo, these black people are way more advanced. Who know this internet shit better than I do? Because I was surrounded by black people who were like, man, fuck these computers. I ain't go, like, I remember one person was, I was trying to explain how, yeah, man, in the future, you'll be able to go online and find out what's going on, what parties you could go to. And he was like, yeah. Like, I'm going to go on the internet. Like, I'm going to use a computer to find out where the bitch is at. I was like, oh, come on, bro. Yeah, that nigga owes me an apology. Anyways, okay. To his point, I was saying how I swear by AI. But this week, I was so fucking disappointed by AI, by open ChatGPT. I used ChatGPT to write a script, only to have this fucking thing not working. And I'm realizing that unlike, let's say, writing a text, like a complex text, like for a job application, AI, you gotta be careful in telling it, okay, long story short, the concept that it gave me made sense, but the execution sucked, because I was trying to get it to write a shell script. Okay, I'm about to say some nerd shit, right? Some shell, on Linux, and it needed to, right, I didn't specify I needed to run on Slack. But it wrote me a script that it would work if everything was properly configured. Like, this motherfucker made a lot of assumption. Long story short, because it was a script that was working on it the whole day. I was using AI to help me troubleshoot this fucking script. I spent several hours on this thing, and the stupid thing didn't work. And I was getting impatient. It was getting to a point where I was like, in all uppercase, this fucking thing. I didn't use the word fuck because it freaks out on me. It goes, this stupid thing's not working. And AI's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Try this. Maybe you're not doing this. Maybe whatever. Anyways. Holy shit. I'm off point. My point is, I agree. Start understanding this AI technology because it's the future. Pretty soon, that shit's going to be replacing jobs. But, yeah, I do encourage my people to get in front of this shit. It's only a matter of time before they're like, oh, wow, this AI is like teaching black people how to be free. Oh, no, fuck that. Let's censor that shit. Like, it's only a matter of time before AI is telling you, well, by all accounts, sir, you are, white people are the devil. So, whoa, fucking AI is racist. You're supposed to be on my side. Yeah. Anyways, on my list on randomness is a post on Reddit, and homie wrote, "Okay, yeah." So I subscribed to a new subreddit, and it's called Gen X, And homie, you know, I'm going to read it. It goes, okay, the question goes, do you feel like you're just checking days off the calendar until the end? And the answer is, fuck yes. But, So this is what the question goes. He says, I had originally used the phrase playing out the string. Okay, before I continue, this is a serious topic for me because I even had a discussion with my younger than me therapist about it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring this up with her. But yeah, and I felt seen when I wrote this, when I read this post. It goes, okay. Oh, maybe I should mention the name of the author is Gen X, 1973, Anhedonia? Okay, English is my second language, by the way, folks. Okay, that's my excuse. Okay, he goes, I had originally used the phrase playing out the string in the title as that's more precise to how I feel, but I thought some may not be familiar with it. Playing out the string is a sports term used when a team has been eliminated from a chance at the championship, but they must still show up and play the remainder of their schedule without the motivation and purpose that striving for a championship brings. I had no motivation and feel no investment or joy in anything. The thrills is gone. Every day feels the same and I'm just showing up. I hear that. I'm not looking for help or tips. I'm aware and have tried the usual recommendation, therapy, meds, setting goals. Recently ran my first 5K. Good for you. Finding hobbies. Nothing seems to stick. It feels like my time is up, shit, and I'm just waiting for it to all be over. I know what that fucking means. I'm really just looking for commiseration with those that feel the same, and also open to hearing the perspective of those few who feel fulfilled. And still feel some measure of excitement and purpose in life. Rare, I think. So Gen X, do you feel like you're just checking days off the calendar until the end? My answer is, it's funny. I was feeling more like, my analogy was more like, I was feeling like I'm in the restaurant, I ate, paid my bills, and for whatever reason, I decide to just stick around. You know, sometimes, maybe you just went, because maybe my movie starts in a few minutes and I'm just killing time. And sometimes I just stick around to just people watch. Or maybe it's rain, whatever. And but I can feel the waiter okay, I'm done with this person, give him all the free water he needs. And the service has moved on to a different table. But every once in a while glances my direction and is like, do you want something else? Or if not, beat it. Someone needs that table. And in my analogy, the server is like life. It's just like just waiting for me to, not life, the world is like just waiting for me to click away, to click out. And what I like about that analogy is because it reminds me that it made me think that, okay, so I just realized that while writing this, my reply to this poster is, realizing that I'm one of those people who's going through life saying, give me, give me, give me, as opposed to how can I help? Or what can I do? So the fact that I've been treating the world, okay, I've been getting older. Again, it's been a challenge for me accepting the fact that I'm now the old guy. I'm the old guy in the club. And I've been looking at life. I've been looking at the world. I've been feeling like the world's just waiting for me to check out, like in this capitalistic system. It's like, come on, homie, you're old. Anyways, so I remember bringing this up with my therapist, and I won't lie, I didn't. Maybe it was a little hard hearing it from her because she's young, way younger than me, and two, like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't think you understand what I'm saying, what I'm going through. But she did give me something that did weigh in, that I did. I felt like it was good advice or a good thought. And essentially is, okay, maybe the thought, the idea that I'm just counting the days before it's over will never go away. But the one thing I can do is make the best out of the times I got left. And part of making the best out of the times I got left is not repeating the mistakes of the past. See, growing up, I spent a significant portion of my life living it on other people's terms, being a people pleaser, telling people what they want to hear, being whatever they want me to be and all that. And now she's like, nah, maybe play this game of life differently and be who the fuck you want to be. Do what the fuck you want to do. Say what the fuck you want to say. And it made me realize that, and I've been kind of doing that, the only place it's been hard to do that is at work. And it's got me thinking of a career change. And it also has me thinking about how I need to get back into comedy. On that note, made me realize that on a plus side, I've figured out. Oh, I'm realizing that I'm speaking to you like you've been paying attention to my podcast regularly. Okay, so I have this idea of wanting to write in to the 3GO, Three Guys On podcast, and I don't know, and it's kind of therapeutic writing to these guys because they're all comedians, they're all comics, and black comics. Well, one of them's okay, white, but you know, the white guy who gets it. And just writing in has actually been therapeutic. Like I've figured out what I want to say. Now I just need to how I want to say it, work out how I want to say it. But the hard part is done. Like I've been able to go through my complex thoughts and figure out, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. And realizing that, I'm realizing that what's been holding me back from doing comedy, it's two things. One is fear, and the second one is white people. I'll elaborate what I mean by white people. I mean like it's more like not feeling like I can do the kind of jokes I want to do. Yeah. Anyways, I need to put shit down on paper. But yeah, anyways, all this to say that, yeah, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this shit. And try to live life on my own terms, and maybe it'll distract me from the fact that, from the inevitable. There we go. All right. Well, this concludes randomness. We can now jump to the last phase, which I labeled the last thought. And before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. All right. Peace. A quick break. Coming back. Okay. See you in a bit. And we are back. Nous sommes de retour. Did I mention this is a bilingual podcast? And by bilingual, but Canadian, by Canadian standard bilingual, French and English? Okay, I speak to you in English. I'm assuming that some of you only speak English, so if I do talk in French, it's kind of like the same way Miro speaks. Miro from the ex-Bodega Boys speaks Spanish. He throws in the Spanish in there, so, you know, it's like, look it up. J'envoie quelques expressions en français. I say some things will come out in French. When I get emotional, when I'm real, look, we are not real friends if you've never heard me speak French. All right, okay. All right, let me sort this thought out. This is just a quick one. Okay. I think I'm going to call it flu shot because it's the first thing that came to mind. Now, before I explain why flu shot, let me talk about, there's a video that's gone around, and I'll tell you what, let me just play it. This is the video. I'm going to play the video that's gone viral. It bothered the fuck out of me, and then someone posted a response that made me, okay, now I understand why I'm upset. So it makes sense. So here's the video that went viral, and it bothered me, and I didn't know why. And I've labeled it under the term, are you healed?
I kind of can't breathe, but I just seen a video that said, are you healed or are you isolated with no one around you to trigger you? Savannah, slow down.
So it was a good question. Are you healed or are you just not around people to trigger you. And I'm like, yeah. And the idea that the end goal is to be the guy being Mr. Life of the Party, like, it's just, nah. Like, the idea that me going on a cruise on vacation by myself means there's something wrong with me, that's how I interpreted the message. And then someone responded to this video, and I fucking loved it. This sister spoke for me, well, for us who relate. Here we go.
So there's a video circulating and it says, are you healed or are you isolated with no one to trigger you? I think it's really important for us to understand that healing is a lifelong process. No one dies completely healed from every experience that they've ever had in their lives that traumatized them. And a lot of us are isolated because we are still healing and we are aware of that. But at the same time, we're also unfuckwittable. We're not interested in having ingenuous relationships. Mm. We're not interested in being around people who purposely try to provoke us or hurt us because they can't deal with their own damn demons. We understand that we don't need people's permission to live our lives the way that we want to. And we're not going to surround ourselves with demons just to prove that we can be around them. We're not interested in catering to other people's values who can't reciprocate that same energy to us. We believe in healthy connections. Not having unhealthy connections because we can't be with ourselves. Mm. There's a difference.
Shout out to the Real Isolation. Be like, oh, that's her name. Real Isolation. Be like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with solitude. I, you know, look, I've gone through my entire life growing up. My parents, brother, they were extroverts. Maybe they had a bit of introversion in them, but they didn't understand. There were times where, I remember when we moved into a place that had a 3-bedroom, which meant my brother and I had our own room, and I used to love closing my door, and they never understood it. They were like, open the door. It's like, what, are you angry at us? Are you mad at us? It's like, fuck. To them, there's no reason for isolation. It's better to tolerate a dysfunctional relationship than to be alone. And yeah, powerful. I really, okay. Another reason why it bothered me is because I gotta remember I'm supposed to bring up flu shot, but I'm gonna get to that. It also bothered me because, and I mentioned this on a past episode, I was at one of those town hall meetings. And, I was at one of the town hall meetings and my employer, well, the president of the organization was talking to all us employees, all us minions via MS Teams. And he was basically trying to sell us on the whole, yeah, man, this was before when we were working from home three days a week and we're in the office twice a week. It was mandatory. And then it raised from, and then the news came out, is not, now we're going for them. We want you in the office 3 times a day and work from home 2 times a week. And the president, you know, I guess he was trying to act like he was one of the woke white guy or the white guy who gets it. He was like, oh, I know some questions. He surprised me, brought it up. He goes, yeah, some people say that, what about the microaggression? How are we going to handle the microaggression? How are we going to deal with the money? Or he was saying how, I guess he was acknowledging that some marginalized people were enjoying working from home because they didn't have to put up with the bullshit microaggression, which, by the way, still hasn't been fucking fixed in the organization. You know why? Because some of the people who do microaggression don't see it as a bad thing or don't feel, don't realize, oh, you're talking about me. Anyway, sorry, that's a longer conversation. So let me get to the point. So he was saying that, yeah, well, what I'm saying is, how are we going to fix the microaggression if you stay at home? If you stay at home by like a loner, there's no way for us to fix it. Essentially, this dumbass didn't realize he was saying, we need you niggers, or whatever. I'm not going to throw other derogatory terms here. But we need you niggers to come in here, point out the people who are fucked up, who are being racist, tell us about it so we can run some report and figure out how, well, we got to see both sides and tell you how dang shit we could do about it, because that's a very important person. We can't dismiss person because he says something, he or she said something or done something racist, or that you consider racist, but I don't. My point is, it just had me thinking on how these assholes don't care about your healing journey. They just need you to get the job done and put on a smiley face. And yeah, I guess it's these people who are like, oh, you loner. And usually the people who are out there making fun of people for wanting to isolate themselves tend to be the same people who cause people to want to isolate, or like tend to be like shitty people who would benefit from therapy. I swear, I think some people, relationship to them is, I don't want to fight my demons, so I will use, instead of fighting my demons, I will fight you instead. You're a projection of these demons. I can't be alone with my demons. I need a punching bag to deal with. And yeah, I'm just saying, it's amazing the people who shit on people for wanting to isolate themselves while being a reason to want to isolate themselves. There's like a saying about how, I'm remembering that I'm supposed to speak about flu shot. Okay, all right. I'm getting better at speeches here, making speeches, because I'm really, make your goddamn point, B. Okay, flu shot. I am about to confess a story that I can imagine any American listeners, especially Black American listeners who hear this, I'll be like, nigga. Because, and not just Black Americans, but anyone with street smart is going to look down on me for what I'm about to say. And sometimes I share shit on this podcast that I'm like, I might regret sharing this shit, but whatever, it is what it is. That's what I do on this podcast. But yesterday, I fell for the okie doke. Didn't realize it was the okie doke, but I was leaving the Walmart. Yeah, that's right, the Walmart. I don't know if I'm supposed to be boycotting the Walmart, but whatever. I was leaving the Walmart with my shit, and a car pulls up to me, a truck, a crossover vehicle, right? And in there was two brown looking dudes. One of them had a beard. And for me, my first thought was, I bet they're Muslim. I mean, they look Middle Eastern, whatever, right? And homie is like, hey, he makes me realize he's like essentially panhandling from his truck. And he's like, yo, they had a thick accent, right? But essentially they were pointing in, and essentially I was able to understand that, yo, can you help a brother out? I'm paraphrasing, right? Can you help a brother out? We need money for gas. Sell the truck, whatever, right? Now, I won't lie. Shit felt weird. I'm like, wait, in a car or whatever? And homie pulled out a ring. He goes, yeah, you know, I did exchange. I give you, and again, thick accent. And I'm like, I won't lie. In that moment, the shit did feel weird, right? But what got to me is, because they were two brown dudes who might have been Muslim, thick accent, I figured maybe they're not from around here. Maybe they don't know how things are done. I didn't care about the reason. Okay, what I thought about is, in that moment, I was thinking of every brown dude that I've come across. Some of them were strangers. Not just, when I say brown dude, I mean Muslims, right, I've come across, and who showed me a kindness that till this day, there is no way for me to pay that back. That's the only thing that was going through my mind. The love that I was shown to people who looked like them. Some of them, their English was all fucked up. But they, like, some way, somehow, they helped me out. Could have been an Uber driver. Could have been a whatever. But they showed me. I was thinking of the gratefulness of all this time. People who looked like them was kind to me. And I was caught off in that. So against my better judgment, because I'm a big believer in, fuck it, I don't care in giving money that I'm willing to do a part. So I looked at my wallet and noticed that there was, okay, I had a 20. Fuck that, ain't giving them 20. And then I had two fives. Okay, all right, so I gave them the two fives. This is where shit gets funny. Remember, thick accent. Barely understand what the fuck they're saying. One guy said, look, I give you my phone number and I would pay you back and whatever. So like that, I'm like, nah, not necessary, man. So I'm like, whatever, man. It's like, you put on a good show, here's a $10. Now, all of a sudden, and then this dude kept trying to force me to, he kept forcing me to take the ring. I'm like, nah, I'm like, bro, nah, whatever, man. I did the, you know, hand to the chest. Nah, it's all love, bro. You know, I don't need it, whatever. I don't give a fuck if you're going to use it to get high. Fuck it. You know, I don't need the ring. Like, fuck, I'm going to do, use a ring off the street. Whatever, right? Take the money. I'm that guy who I give money to, I'm going to use it to smoke crack. Whatever, man. Be with God. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's $10. I would have used it on a, it's either I give it to a, so I was going for a lap dance, but no, that's just, lap dance are more expensive than that. But my point is, I was willing, I could, fuck it. It's just $10. Whatever. Take it. Whatever. Do, go with God. And then, because like I said, I didn't care. All I know is a human being is asking me for money that I'm willing to do a part with. And then, this is a long-ass setup. Let me get to the point. What does that have to do with flu shot? I'm getting to that. So, give him the money, and then this dude is trying to push this ring, and all of a sudden, his English gets better. And I'm realizing as he's pushing the word, the words he's using is, can you get... what he's trying to express himself is, can you give us enough money to fill up this fucking car? Motherfucker! Because at first I'm like, I don't need the ring. I'm like, yo, y'all Muslims? Because I'm going to say, I was about to say, because, you know, praise Allah for that shit, whatever, right? And I said, you Muslim? He goes, hey, no, I'm not Muslim. But all of a sudden, his English gets better as he explains to me that, can you give us enough money to put more gas in the car? And that's how I knew I got played. And by that time, it was too late to say, hey, give my goddamn $10 back. They drove away. But I remember how much I wanted to beat myself up. I was beating myself up for it. I was like, fuck, man. Fuck, you're stupid. What the fuck? I don't believe you fell for that shit. And blah, you know, and all that. And it hit me, like, as I'm driving away, because, again, I'm realizing that, okay, that feeling, it was the people pleaser in me came out. It was the there's been a lot of time I've given money to panhandlers, and it was less about being kind. It was just the people pleaser. Say, hey, you don't tell people you don't like me, right? And whatever. So, the word I'm using is I'm a recovering people pleaser. But I remember driving away wanting to beat myself up. And I was thinking about how the week earlier I had gone in for a flu shot, right? And the idea, my arm was sore and things like that and whatever, right? But the concept of introducing a minute amount of virus, of the virus, or whatever, the bad things. So your immune system can be like, what the fuck is this? Yo, let's get them, fellas! And then, and then fuck that nigga up. And then they get the DNA. It's like, all right, okay, next time this asshole shows up, we know how to fight him. Like, you know, that's how you just grow. It just makes, man, by the way, if you're a vaccine denier, get the fuck off this podcast. Did you know, I read this somewhere, even pre-slavery, black people, there were certain like parts in Africa, they figured out how fucking viruses work. And it's like they knew if you introduce a small part of the germs in there, in the body, the body will be like, oh, okay, wow, intruder alert. We don't know what the fuck it is, but they figure out how to defeat it. But I was thinking about the idea of putting a germ inside my body so my body can fight it later. And as I was driving away, the only thing that comforted me from, you know, getting played is like flu shot. I needed to get played by those guys so that it won't happen again. Like, sure. I know better now than to be like, okay, shit feels wrong. Fuck that. Actually, I have a relative who played me in that same manner. They borrowed the money, but I was like, well, it's an elder. Of course they're going to pay me back. And I knew everything inside me is like, no, they're playing you. When those dudes came up to me, that voice that was saying, they're playing you, I was like telling it, shut up, man, shut up. These are Muslim brothers. Come on, man, come on. Look, think about the last time a man hooked you up. But now I know, it felt like these guys were like a flu shot. And I know better. Now, if I fall for the scam a second time, yeah, fuck that. I'm right in if you're able to kick my ass, because I'm going to assign you. I'm going to ask you to kick my ass because I deserve an ass whooping. If I fall for that shit a second time, then yes. I mean, it did feel weird. Nothing in my mind. Like, I know all my homies would have been like, nigga, come on. They're in a fucking car. But yeah, flu shot. That's what I mean by flu shot. It's like, never no more. Never no more. Never no more. Never no more. I think that's Hieroglyphic has a song. Is it Hieroglyphics? Okay, let's see if my brain still works. I don't know how to spell glyphics. Glyphics. Never no more. Maybe I should title this episode Never No More. Souls of Mischief, shame on me. Aw, man. Wait, who's Hieroglyphics? Is that the name of the album? Song by Hieroglyphics. Okay. Okay, I'm confused. Souls of Mischief was the band. Then who's okay, let me look up. Souls of Mischief. Hieroglyphics is... Nah, nigga. The band. So I'm arguing with... Okay, Hieroglyphic is the group. Hieroglyphic is also known as Hieroglyphics Crew, and an American underground hip-hop collective based out of Oakland. And it's found in early, okay, Del the Funky Homo Sapien. The collective is currently composed of rappers of Del the Homo Funky Homo Sapien, Casual, Pep Love, Domino, DJ Tora. Okay. And the four individual members of the rap group Souls of Mischief. Holy shit. What a journey. Right. Okay. Fuck, I was confused. Okay. Souls of Mischief has a song called Never No More. And maybe that should be the name of today's track. Hold on. Let me play this. Shout out to my... Hey, hey, hey. Come on. Come on. Hey, hey. Let's do this.
Never no more.
Never no more.
Never will a sucker score. Never no more.
Okay, I think that's going to be the name of the title. Never no more. The title of today's episode. 229. Never no more. Never will a sucker score. Never no more. Yeah, I fucking love this episode. I love how I reached this conclusion. All right, I lied to you. Never No More is the title of today's episode, 229. Should be Flu Shot, or maybe I'll put Flu Shot in the brackets. I like having these confusing titles. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And, well, you got to listen to make sense out of it. But yeah, that was my day yesterday, man. Never No More. Oh, holy shit. What does that have to do with healing? Okay, yes. So my point is, as I was beating myself up, I remember telling myself, this is why I don't like people. I remember, this is why I don't like being in this world, because it's easy for me to take advantage of the fact that I'm a people pleaser. I remember, yes, this is why I isolate myself, because there are shitty people in this world. And I was wondering whether I was doing the right thing. It's like, yes, I isolate myself to avoid the shitty people that's in this world. Never no more. I don't know. I'm not saying I have a solution. I'm just saying I remember thinking about my reason for wanting to isolate myself. Anyway, yeah. All right. Okay. With that said, this you can't tell, but I'm kind of hungry, and I'm about to make my fresh my traditional chicken noodle soup. I make a bomb ass chicken noodle soup. Now, bomb ass to me. Not the kind that I would share with a date, because I don't want to, you know, last thing, because my feelings would get hurt. Ew! Or just like, no, this is good. Whatever. Yeah. But anyways, I'm about to make my world famous chicken noodle soup. So I'm about to bounce and say this concludes today's episode. As always, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before you leave, I want to remind you that This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Bougez bleu, motherfucker. Motherfucker. Entendez? Bougez bleu. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who felt it when they were listening to Outkast's first album and heard Big Rube ask the question, "Are you an outcast?" Y'all heard that question and y'all said yes. Well, I represent for them too. This episode is rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I am your king now!